And welcome back to the Greg Herenda Show. And that music means we have an NBA superstar on the other line. We have Villanova's very finest, Mr. Kerry Kittles, back on the Greg Herenda Show. Kerry, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing great, Coach. Thanks for having me back on.
It's great to hear your voice, Kerry, man. It really is. And when you hear that music, does that, like, excite you? Does that bring you back to your playing days?
Of course. And, like, of course. That is, like,
that's it.
Cities to my ears, man. It's just like playoff time, NBA.
Right.
That's the best.
Yeah, but, you know, you were on the floor, so you probably didn't hear that music all that much, Kerry, did you?
I didn't, but, you know, I still watch a lot of games.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Always watching games. So,
yeah.
As a fan, even when I played, I was still a fan when I was playing. So it's like, you know, a lot of memories.
Like, what, let's just say on a Sunday you played, I don't know, you played a 1 o'clock game, and then that night Golden State's playing Portland at 10:30, and you're tired. Do you put the TV on and just lay back and watch it, or do you change the channel?
Yeah, you're watching.
You watch it, right?
At least the first half. At least the first half, yeah.
And as an NBA player, what, like, how do you watch a game, like, differently than the common Joe that's just watching the game, you know, with a beer and some wings? What exactly are you looking at? Are you looking at matchups or sets, or are you just chilling and watching?
Yeah, you look
at
a little bit of that. You know, you try to be a fan and relax your brain a little bit.
Right.
You don't want to overthink the game. But
yep.
Sometimes, you know if you played against certain guys or certain teams, where there was a set that they were going to run for a certain guy, get him a shot.
Right.
Or whether, you know the guy's tendencies. Is he going to that tendency, or does he have a different counter move? You might want to pick up on something like that. But other than that, you're just kind of watching the flow of the game. You're seeing who's hot right now, who's playing well, things
right.
like that.
Kerry, you know, the elephant is in the room. The tragic, and I think that's an understatement, loss of Kobe Bryant has affected us all. But before we get to the loss, tell me about your matchups with Kobe, and when you watched him and when you guarded him and he guarded you, and you guys did it at the highest level in the NBA Finals, and I think it was 2002. Just give me, you know, the early Kobe as he matured. How did you play against him? What was your preparation like, and vice versa? Give me a look into Kerry Kittles versus Kobe Bryant back in the day.
Yeah, well, I was fortunate. I got a chance to play against him when he was in high school because, his high school was 15 minutes down the street from Villanova. So I saw him playing high school in the playground.
Right.
And I was like, wow, this kid's pretty good. And then a few weeks later, we were playing pickup over at St. Joe's.
Yep.
With a bunch of college guys, NBA guys. It was a really, really competitive day. And he was out there, dominating.
Really? Wow.
I was like, wow, this kid is going to be really good. And then we had a good, mutual friend, John Lucas, the coach of the Sixers at the time. And John would have us, just me and Kobe, in for, like, just individual workouts. And Kobe and I would go in the morning. We would meet with John. We would go through drills. We'd play one-on-one.
Right.
And then John was like, all right, let's go to the track. I'm like, go to the track? What? We go to the track. And he'd make us run sprints backwards. And we were like, I was like, this is nuts. I'm like, what are we doing, Kobe? He's like, man, this guy's crazy.
Oh, my.
But he was, you could tell, literally, you could tell at 16, 17 years old.
Right.
And I had played against pros in the summer.
Exactly.
Eddie Jones, who was now in the NBA.
Eddie.
You know, we were both two guard. And I was like, this kid is going to be.
Right.
Like 17? I was like, oh, my God.
How old were you? What's the age difference, Kerry?
I was 4 years older, so I was junior in college.
Wow.
So I was junior, senior in college playing against him. And he
God.
Was, you know, junior, senior in high school.
Yep.
You know, he was exactly 4 years behind me. And so the talent was there. The drive was there. I mean, the competitiveness was there. He didn't care who he was playing against. I'm talking 16, 17-year-old kid on the court with like top college kids in the Philadelphia area and pros, and he's going at them. And it's like, I mean, it was just crazy to see.
Yes.
So, I knew right away the kid was special, and then face him even his first year when he didn't, you know, he was playing behind Eddie Jones with the Lakers,
right?
And we played him in the old Forum, and he made a move against me in that game. I just could remember like it was yesterday. And it was so quick.
Right.
It was so,
right.
He spun baseline on me away from the double team.
Yep.
And it was so fast and so explosive.
Right.
I was like, wow. So
yes.
The kid had it from day one. And then on top of that, just like his drive to improve every
right.
summer, he was going so hard in the gym. And it was just after that, it was over.
He won 3 NBA championships by the age of 23. I mean, that's that. Like, he's got so many.
Yeah, I mean,
that's amazing how ahead of his.
Yes, I tell you what, everyone always asks me, who's the best guy you played against in the NBA? And my immediate answer, 20-something years later, my immediate answer is always, besides Jordan and Kobe, who's the best player?
Yeah.
Because it's Jordan and Kobe, and then it's everybody else.
Everybody else.
And I think about the guys I played against. I played against some great players.
Right.
Ray Allen, Allen Houston, Sprewell. I mean, I played against a lot of great players. Paul Pierce was a great player.
That's right.
Great player. So was Stephen T-Mac. But Kobe was just that much better.
It's amazing.
Like, he had no flaws.
Right.
No flaws.
How good was he?
Go left.
How
good? Pull ups, everything, man. He was an incredible player.
Kerry, how good was he defensively?
Oof. I don't know. He must have learned that from Brian Shaw or like Byron Scott early on. I don't know where he learned how to move his feet like that. And like, because normally when you're scoring 28 points,
forget it. You're not
you're
the
not
other
really
end.
Guarding
you're taking off.
Against, you know, Allen Houston, great player.
He didn't guard nobody.
The best defensive player, but like Kobe would guard you, man. It wasn't easy to score against him, and he was just a great two-way player. And man, what a tragedy.
Kerry, just on a lighter note, if you can get light when you're talking about Kobe, what about the verbal kind of trash talk, the banter? What kind of a talker was he on the floor? Because it seemed like he was so focused that he couldn't drop down to the Larry
talk.
Bird, so he didn't talk
Never.
On the floor?
I mean, I'll tell you what, the guys that I played against in the NBA that were the hardest players were the ones that really didn't talk that much.
Exactly.
And he was one of them. Like, Reggie didn't talk. If you talked to Reggie, of course he would mouth back. But
yeah.
Reggie didn't talk. Jordan didn't talk. Iverson didn't talk. And I mean, I knew Iverson since college. We played in the USA team together. He didn't talk on the court.
Right.
Kobe didn't talk. There was one time my last year in the NBA, we were playing against the Lakers, and I was with the Clippers.
Yep.
And this is Kobe's on some crazy hot streak. This is in 04, 05.
Yep.
And he's on some crazy hot streak. He's scoring like 40 a game. And Dunleavy tells me, he goes, you're going to guard him up, you know, head up tonight. No, no double teams. You got him straight up. I'm like, really? He's scoring 40. He's like,
right.
He'll score 40, but we're going to beat him. Trust me. I'm like, okay. So the game starts, and, you know, first quarter ball comes to Kobe, and he's just waiting for a double team. And there was no double team. And he starts laughing. He passes the ball back out front, and he looks at me. He goes, serious? I'm like, yeah, bro, I'm paying you straight up. He goes, what? He goes, I'm going to have 50 on you. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, you got to take 50 shots. And he's like, I will see about that.
Yeah.
And he didn't score 50, but he scored over 35.
Yeah. That. And who won the game? Who won the game, Kerry? Do you remember?
They won. They won.
I'll tell you. And like, at the end of the day, you play them in the finals. Now, like, I know players step their game up, and you know what, Kerry? You weren't a bad player, my man, okay? You were a great player yourself with all amongst those great ones. But when the finals come around, does everybody have, like, a different look when you pound that chalk on your hands and it goes up in the air? How was he in the finals compared, was he just consistently, like, he didn't take many nights off?
He was a consistently attacking, aggressive player.
Right.
In January, in November.
Right.
And because we played every year in Thanksgiving. We were, you know, the New Jersey Nets would always fly out west. We played the Lakers and the Clippers. and whoever else, like during Thanksgiving. So we always played him in November. He was always the same in November. We played him again in New Jersey.
Yeah.
In like, let's say, March.
Right.
And then in the fight, it's the same attack. Like, my last year we played against him, he was like, I never forget, he missed like two shots in one possession. They got an offensive rebound, and he's still calling for the ball. I'm like, bro, you just missed two shots. Right. He goes, yo. He's like calling for the ball.
Right.
And I'm like, who does that? In the same possession.
You're right.
So he was always on attack mode. He really wanted to, like, rip your throat out. And that's just how he played. And it was a reckless.
Yep.
But like, it was, man, he was an aggressive player.
In 2006, he scored 81 against Toronto.
I watched it live.
And he averaged 43.4. over an extended period in the month of January.
Well, because I think in that same month, he scored 62, right, in three quarters and didn't play in the fourth?
Yes.
Yeah, so that was between 81 and 62. That's just like...
And the only thing I can compare it to myself is when you would be a kid and you played on those 8-foot hoops and you played against kids that were like... 8 when you were 13. That's what it was probably like.
It's like video game.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's not like
video game.
We think 50 points is a lot, but the way he interacted with dudes, he just knew he was getting 35. Like, so it was, he was just on a different planet.
He was on a different planet. He really was. He worked his tail off. I never forget, I would go to Gold's Gym out in the summer, out in Venice Beach, and I was training there. And I had a guy who I'm still good friends with to today. And, you know, he's a trainer there. And I would call him. I would say, Adam, what the heck is Kobe doing in the gym, bro? Like, he's just too big, too strong.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, Kerry, he comes in the morning and, like, reads the paper. I'm like, what? No way.
Right.
He goes, I'm telling you, he's just a genetic freak. I'm like, no way. Because one year, literally, he put on, like, 15, 18 pounds of muscle. And it was just like he was beasting guys. And it was like... He worked his tail off, man. It just showed. And when he played, it was just all confidence. What you saw at times as a fan, you watch Kobe play, and you think, is he arrogant? And I'm like,
I know.
Playing against him? No, he wasn't arrogant.
No.
That's what confidence looks like. It almost comes across as being arrogant, but he was just confident. I'm going to take this shot and make it in your face, and then I'm going to drive by you and dunk on you. Like, just
right.
Confidence.
Kerry, in the game that he had 62 after three quarters, Kenny, the Dallas Mavericks had 61.
Mm-hmm.
So that was against 5 to 7 to 8. How many players the Mavericks put on the floor, NBA professionals? He outscored them 62-61.
Yeah. I mean,
where were you, Kerry? Where were you when you found out that Kobe had passed?
I was here at home. And I was here at home working out. And I got a phone call. Did you hear what happened to Kobe? I was like, no. And I looked at my phone. And I had like 15, 20 texts. And I was just like, oh, my God. You know, guys, my peer, you know, came in the league the same year. You know, 41, yep. I'm 45. You know, he's got four daughters. I have four daughters. And, you know, he's starting his next chapter in his life. And just think about the impact he was having on the game, right? Like, I don't even know of a former player that impacted the game the way he has.
Explain to me and my audience.
And his bonding connection with all these current players, stars, or even not even superstars, just regular NBA players. And the women's game with his daughter in the WNBA. And just like how he just gave of himself, he didn't have to do that.
No.
Most of these guys, you don't see these guys anymore. They retire, and they're just off and about, right? But he's giving back. He's working guys out in the summer. He's teaching them footwork. He's just like he loves
He's
the
sitting
game
down with Gino Auriemma. You know what I mean? Like the guy, I think he had was going to have, because of his daughter, was going to have a tremendous impact on women's basketball.
Man, really, coaching in his academy, coaching the girls. He had to coach the girls. Just just giving back to the game, man, is just really, really a sad, tragic story. And
Kerry, let's talk about a happier time, the draft. Yes. And how much aware of were you in that you and Kobe were, like, intermingled? Obviously, you played with him when he was in high school down in Philly when you were at Villanova, but now you go to the draft, and now it's like the Nets, and, you know, like, if they wanted to get Kobe, they wanted you. You were a proven commodity. Tell me your thoughts looking back at the draft and how you and Kobe were attached at the hip.
Yeah. So, yeah, I heard that Calipari had worked him out a few times, and he had some good workouts. And so they called me and brought me back in for, like, a second or a third workout as well. Uh-huh. And I had heard that Kobe had destroyed Ed O'Bannon. I was like, all right, so I guess now I have to destroy Ed, too. So I come to the workout, and there's Ed O'Bannon. And I'm like, dude, it's going to be a long day for you today.
Right.
So, but I had already heard that Kobe had plans to go to L.A., so my agent told me that they weren't going to draft him with the Nets, and that he was had a deal with that to go to L.A. for Vlade Divac. So
you kind of knew that before it happened?
Yeah.
Okay.
I kind of knew it was
going down.
A deal that was done. So.
And it's just amazing because when it. But how did getting back to how you reacted? You were at home. Like, were you able to? Did you hug your kids? Did you? What did you? I don't want to get too personal, but what did you do? How did you actually feel in your heart?
I was very emotional. I was crying crying like I, you know, played with them. I was crying like
right.
Like I just, you know, everyone you hear people tell the story like. Yeah, I just was crying a lot. Like, I don't even really know Kobe. Guys like, you know, Paul Pierce, who, just like me, we just compete against him.
Right.
We know him a little bit.
Right.
We bump into him. We'd see him. But, you know, it wasn't like we were, like, buddies or anything like that. So it's because you just knew, man, he had a big heart. He always respected the game. He always respected his opponents, the fans,
yep.
Other coaches.
Right.
You can't even think of a time when Kobe
disrespected the game
of basketball.
Right.
You know? And that, to me, was when I thought about his impact and just, like, his legacy, of course, you know, all the records and the championships and all that. But, like,
yes.
I'm like, gosh, looking back, I'm like, this dude carried himself with the utmost respect of the game. I mean, other than, like, Tim Duncan, you can't think of a guy that was just an ultimate competitor and winner and champion, but just, like, you know, when he retired, it's like everyone loved him because he never talked trash to you or put you down. He just,
right.
just bust your ass.
He just beat you up.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's what really impacted me the most was thinking about, you know, my time playing against him and sharing the court with them and going head-to-head against them. It was, you know, wow, we lost a great one.
Last thing, I saw Jerry West interviewed by Shaq and Charles, and I'm drawing a blank on the head.
Ernie?
And Ernie. Jerry West, did you see it, Kerry?
Yes, I did.
He opened up, and he's the, you know, in the NBA, Jerry West is on every NBA uniform.
Yes.
And broke down. Oh my God! It was probably one of the most, you know, it affected me for 3, 4, 5, 6 minutes he was on, Kenny. It was incredible because he really brought him into his life at 17 years old, and the love and the respect that and you're talking about Jerry West and Shaquille, and they were all in tears. It was just in.
Yeah, I had a chance to spend some time with Jerry this summer out in Vegas,
yep.
L.A., and you know, I immediately got his book and read his book, and you know, when you read the book, he spoke a lot about his relationship with Kobe early on, and even later on when he was with Memphis and Kobe was thinking about leaving the Lakers, and just, you know, of course, I mean, he spent a lot of one-on-one time with Kobe. Kobe was a sponge, man. He wanted every advantage he could get on his opponent.
Yes.
So he picked Jerry's brain, and And he really spent a lot of time with Jerry's kids, you know, Jerry's older boys.
Exactly.
And they were like, you know, they were like brothers. When Kobe was 18 years old, rookie, you're spending time. So Jerry has a lot of respect for Kobe's, you know, as a person. And you know, because he knows that, like, he was a special one. You know, Phil Jackson said he was like the chosen one. And
yes.
And it's so true. It's like, you know, look, I played against Vince Carter, okay? Vince Carter may be, like, genetically more talented.
Oh,
more talented than Kobe.
Jump way
but he
higher.
He didn't work nearly as hard as Kobe.
Yeah.
And he didn't put as much nearly into the game as Kobe. So, like, Kobe took advantage of everything that he was given, and he worked his tail off to become, you know, one of the all-time greats. And so we all admire what he was able to accomplish. We all respect what he's done for the game. And, man, it's going to be a tough one for all of us.
Kerry, I can't thank you enough for your introspective look on Kobe, man. And we're going to change it right now. We're going to move on. And the Villanova Wildcats, we're going to take you out. You're a Wildcat, Kerry. And you know what? You said great things about Kobe. I'm going to say great things about you. You're not only a great player, you're a great dad. You're a great man, ambassador for the game of basketball. And I can't thank you enough for being, again, on the Greg Herenda Show, brother.
I appreciate it, Coach. Anytime.
I'll let you go. Peace.
Thanks for having me. Okay.
We'll be back to conclude the Greg Herenda Show after this.
Hi, this is Kerry Kittles, former New Jersey Net. Whenever I'm not watching my Villanova Wildcat, I'm listening to the Greg Herenda Show on WFPU.